It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Buenos dias. No, buenos noches. Oh, no, buenos dias means good day. Good. How's everybody doing? It is Don Tony. This is the Don Tony Show. It is March 11, 2023. I am wiping the crust off my eyes. I got my coffee ready to go, and we're going to get right into the show. As you can see, I'm wearing an On Patrol Live official hat. I want to thank Amy, who sent me this gem. And we can't talk about MLW and Reels just yet, because On Patrol Live airs twice on the weekends. But I will tell you, yesterday I watched it, and from beginning to end, once again, Reels did not promote MLW Underground even once during On Patrol Live. Up until 2 weeks ago, it was 6-7 ads per episode. Last 2 weeks, a goose egg. Now, tonight we have another live show. So let's see what happens tonight. Maybe we do get a little bit of a change. But if we get no ads again, I'm going to make an assumption on Monday. And I have a feeling my assumption is going to be correct. So we'll talk about it then. Now, a little cheap plug. For anybody who is a member of our Patreon family and who is stuck with us, I mean, from thick and thin, a little announcement that Tuesday night, my normal time slot for Patreon, I will not be alone. We've done four podcast Forbidden Doors. This Tuesday, for the first time ever, we have a Patreon Forbidden Door. Kevin Castle will be joining me. We will be doing basically a little reunion DTKC show. We're going to focus on WrestleMania probably more than anything else. Might take a couple of questions. I haven't decided yet how we're going to do that, because some people take some extra liberties and like to send in five plus. So we may limit everyone to one question. It's not going to be a five-hour show. But that is for our Patreon family. Now, for our channel members here who normally get my Patreon show, if you're a channel member here, you'll get it. You'll get it. But as far as it going on DonTony.com, as far as it being streamed everywhere else, the answer is no. This is something for our Patreon family. The problem with making this worldwide is we'll get 10,000 of the, you know, oh, you got to keep doing it. Oh, we got to stay together and this and that. We've been on the Patreon channel together all this time. And for those who have stuck with us, we decided for one night only for now, you know, we do the show. So if you are part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, it will be live 10:05 p.m. Tuesday. If you're not part of our Discord channel and you have the right tier, obviously, because there's a few people with samplers that, you know, they just get the episodes and they're gone, which is cool. But if you have the proper tier and you want to be part of the Discord live, if you've never been on a Discord, don't wait till the last minute. Go check, see if you're set up with us. If you're not, send me a DM immediately on Patreon so I could set you up, because Tuesday, you know, we do get that once in a while. Literally, as the show goes live, you see a bunch of DMs pop up. Oh, I don't have access. I don't have access. People wait till the last minute. Don't do it this time. All right. So we got a few things to get into. If you check out the synopsis, you have a good idea already. I think the first thing that we should get into is the fact that WWE is going to individually announce the Hall of Fame inductees. Now, we're still 3 weeks away to WrestleMania, that does equate to six more shows between Raw and SmackDown. So, yeah, now it seems like we'll probably get one per episode, similar to like what they've been doing once a week with the movie parodies. So we'll probably get an announcement on Monday. We'll probably get an announcement next Friday. We'll probably get one, and you see where this goes. Now, the word going around the IWC yesterday was that the first inductee was going to be the great Muta. The great Muta. Does he go in? We'll see. We'll see. I've already given you my thoughts on that, but we got a little bit of a curveball yesterday. On SmackDown, they were going to announce the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, you know there's definitely going to be some storyline attached to this that night. And remember, it takes place after SmackDown. So you know this. There's going to be some type of a storyline interruption with it. But if you haven't paid attention to news and didn't watch SmackDown yesterday, the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2023 is none other than Rey Mysterio Jr. I know the first reaction for a lot of you out there is, wait, he's still an active wrestler. Yeah. You know, they're going to be in California. That is basically Rey's home turf. And let me tell you something. From what I am hearing from people is not only is the Hollywood aspect going to influence the Hall of Fame this year, but it's also going to be the residency of certain folk. And, you know, this is to maximize the turnout as well. Now, you know, Batista, most people feel is a lock. He was supposed to go in a couple of years ago. COVID screwed that up. They're in Hollywood. Duh. It almost makes sense. But Rey Mysterio going in, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I think people are more surprised that people are going in still as an active wrestler. But you got to ask yourself, you know, we all are focusing on Edge right now, that 2023 is his final year. And we hope that's December of 2023, not April of 2023. But this could be the final year for Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio could be packing it in. I mean, his career has been riddled with lots of injury and lots of pain. And this guy comes back every time. And, you know, you see his matches. He could still go on a top level. But, you know, I think at some point, you know, you want to kind of like go out on top. I know that sounds a little bit ridiculous for some, but, you know, makes you wonder, you know, what is the future for Rey Mysterio inside the ring? Now, yesterday on SmackDown, there was some storyline interaction with this because Dominik comes out and Dominik says that you should be in the Deadbeat Dad Hall of Fame. How could WWE induct a washed up, sorry excuse of a father? So you could see it already. You could see Angie, the potted plant. You're going to see Aaliyah. You're going to see, you know, others. And Dominik will show up with Mammy and try to, you know, interrupt it. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. You know, if you remember when Eddie passed, he was still used in storyline, and a lot of people felt their original reaction. They felt uncomfortable, like, you know, why is he still involved in storylines? He's deceased. But, you know, there are wrestlers who say, man, keep my memory alive, man. Yeah. Just don't piss on my grave, you know. And for me, too, you know, like, I'm not a wrestler, but, you know, if I pass, I want everybody to laugh and celebrate. You know, don't laugh at me, but just, you know, remember the good times. We're all going to go at some time. But, you know, Rey, you know, hey, the big question now is who inducts Rey Mysterio into the WWE Hall of Fame? Now, you got to go look at last year to get a better idea as far as, because a lot of people are picking one person. I don't mean like only, you know, like one specific person. They're focusing on one person putting Rey in. Since it's going to be in the middle of the ring, And since there is going to be, you know, like a celebration, there's no reason why multiple people can't be in the ring to induct Rey Mysterio. Now, as far as speeches go, you know, maybe not everybody gets to, you know, say anything long. This is not going to be like a really long Hall of Fame ceremony. But, you know, some people think Chavo Guerrero would be one. Honestly, you want to put him on the stage, I'm fine with that, but I don't think so. Nothing against Chavo. I just, you know, be quiet because, yeah, I know he's close with the family and obviously the brother of Eddie, but I don't think so. I don't think any of his former rivals from Hoovy to Psychosis or anyone else, I mean, you know, WWE Universe knows who they are. For me, I think Edge would be a good choice. Vicky Guerrero's AEW career ends very, very soon. Her contract is not being renewed. Would AEW let her out early and allow her to go to the WWE Hall of Fame? Yeah, but I don't think Vicky Guerrero should be inducting Rey. You know, even though she's the wife of Eddie, with all due respect, Vicky Guerrero is remarried. You know, I mean, she, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when I think of, you know, Rey's feuds, I don't want to see siblings and former spouses and, you know what I mean? I want to see people that he directly worked with. Conan would be great. I think Edge would be great. If you want to have on the stage other people that he loved and appreciated, who he's very close with, absolutely. Some people say Batista. The only reason why I say no to Batista is because Batista's probably going in as well. So that's the big question. Who inducts Rey into the WWE Hall of Fame? I think Edge would be a perfect choice, especially if you're going to incorporate Dominic into the storyline, you know, with the Hall of Fame too. And he shows up with Mommy, with Rhea Ripley. Hell, just show up at the whole Judgment Day. Edge is going to be inducting Rey. Edge is going to be fighting Finn Balor at WrestleMania. See the interaction? So Edge is already on the stage. Edge could negate that by maybe chasing Finn Balor away. Maybe Rey hits a 619 on his son. Maybe teases one on Mommy as well. So, you know, you kind of think about it. Yeah, that kind of does fall into place a little bit. So we'll see. Dean Malenko, absolutely not. And physically right now, he's in pretty rough shape. I mean, that doesn't mean you go into hiding. You know, I don't believe in shit like that. Broke my heart that WWE wouldn't even bring Bobby Heenan to Hall of Fame ceremonies because they didn't want how he looked to be shown on that screen. How awful is that when you look back on it? Kurt Angle's a good choice. Kurt Angle's definitely a good choice. But I don't think a lot of people immediately think about Kurt Angle when it comes to Rey Mysterio. I think Edge would probably be the best choice out of them, especially, like I said, if they do a little storyline. Now, something else that I think everybody should think about, and I have a pick, and I know someone in the chat is going to go with my pick as well. We got to talk about someone else who is going to be going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Who that person is, we don't know. But we do know this. Mick Foley revealed yesterday that he received a text message from someone that he has not had contact with in a while. Years. Asking if Mick would induct this person into this year's WWE Hall of Fame. And he also said that he knows this person responded back to WWE that he was in, and as of this moment, he's counting on being there and being at the Hall of Fame to induct this person. And he said that he wouldn't reveal who the individual is, but he believes this person has a lot of options for who could induct them. And to be asked, what was a day maker for him? Oh, basically, it made Mick Foley's day. So now the question is, Who do you think contacted Mick Foley to induct them into the WWE Hall of Fame? Notice the word them. I originally had him, and then I put him slash her slash them, and then I removed it and I just put them, because Mick Foley used the term them. My question to all of you is, who do you think is going into the WWE Hall of Fame that requested Mick Foley to induct them? I see Al Snow. I see that's pretty much it that people are bringing up. I have an idea. Anybody live in the chat, any ideas as far as you? The Rock, listen, The Rock is a great choice. It would make sense to put The Rock in the Hall of Fame this year. They're in Hollywood. You know, he doesn't have to wrestle, but he could be there. But I think The Rock has talked to Mick Foley very recently. So I don't think it's The Rock, to be honest with you. It's not a bad choice. Believe me, that's what I first thought. Terry Funk, Mick Foley's with Terry Funk. Not all the time, but he was with him a couple of months ago. So it's someone who has not talked to him in quite some time. Do you want to know who I'm going to take a wild guess. Probably going to be wrong. Hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I mean, our track record of nailing things seems to be pretty good. But my wild outside-the-box choice, as far as the person who Mick Foley will induct into the WWE Hall of Fame is, I got to get a drum roll sound effect into my mixer. All right, because no one has actually brought this name up. You know who I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with Melina. Melina reintroduced to the WWE Universe at last year's Royal Rumble. Melina has a history with Mick Foley. I do not believe that they have talked in quite some time. And I think Melina, first of all, Melina definitely deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Second off, isn't Melina from California? Isn't Melina from that neck of the woods? So I think maybe it's Melina. And Mick Foley inducting Melina, when he said that this person has multiple choices, she has feuded with a lot of women in the WWE that could induct her. But I honestly think, plus, they're in Hollywood. When she comes out in the SmackDown building to accept her induction, they got to roll the fucking red carpet out. We're in Hollywood. We're in Cali. So I'm going with Melina. I think Melina, yeah, Cappy Cayman, good point. Her and Batista in the WWE Hall of Fame together would be very interesting. But look, hey, people grow up. You know, they years go by and, you know, shit that happened in yesteryear, you know, sometimes you let things go. Hell, would anybody, listen, I know it's a stretch, but would anybody would have ever thought that this was going to go down Tuesday? I think not. And it was actually a spur in a moment decision because a lot of our patrons kept asking off and on, you know, like, why don't you just like have a little like convo about WrestleMania? I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not a bad idea. So I'm going with Melina. Again, probably wrong, maybe not, but you know me. I like to think outside the box. I like to come up with names that people don't think about. So let's see what happens. I mean, we should know soon. And, you know, will she be inducted? Quite possibly. I know last week a lot of people fell for the fake news that it was Stacy Keibler, and I'm not saying that Stacy Keibler doesn't deserve to go in, but I think there's a few other people ahead of her on the list that should go in first. So, all right, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right, speaking of women in wrestling, I got some really bad news for some of you out there. Some really bad news. I don't know if you are aware of it as of yet, but, yeah, one of the things about covering NXT was dealing with a few people out there that were infatuated with this female women's wrestler's look. And, Yeah, it's, you know, me as, you know, now in my 50s, you know, it's like, how do you react to some of these comments? But unfortunately, you will not be seeing this person in NXT anymore. You won't see this person on Raw or on SmackDown. And I got to be honest with you, when I looked up, like, to pick a photo to post on here, I'm going to show you something funny in a minute, but in case you're not aware of it, Saray is officially gone from NXT WWE. Listen, her deal never worked. It never worked. I don't even think it was timing, because remember, she came in, COVID hit, you know, went back to Japan, problems with visa. And when she first came in, you remember like some of her moves and like kicking, you know, that kick, you know, in the face, somebody's drooping over the side of the, I thought that was one of the most powerful, beautiful looking moves in wrestling today. And I just kept saying to myself, I don't see WWE really flying with that. That's just the way, you know, people's necks would go backwards. I mean, I don't know. There was something about it. And when she first came in, there was some pomp and circumstance. But unfortunately, with WWE, I don't care if it's Triple H, I don't care if it's Vince, I don't care who it is. You know, when it comes to Japanese talent, especially Japanese talent that comes in that does not speak English, that cannot verbally connect with the fans, you know, that's a big problem. We've seen wrestlers get some opportunity, but their ceiling is this low. And it's not because of anything other than what I said. Look at Kushida. Motherfucker, Kushida was, you know, for a lot of people, their favorite wrestler on the WWE roster. As far as NXT goes, you would have thought that guy would have had easy street to get to the main roster, and he's gone. You look at some of the other talents from recent years. WWE does not have a great track record overall with Japanese talent coming in. You know, even for Kairi Sane, you know, she broke out a little bit. And her teaming with Asuka was phenomenal. But you always felt that Asuka was always up here and WWE always looked at Kairi Sane over here. And, you know, that didn't work out. But, you know, the funny thing is with Saray is I don't think people realize how many times they repackaged her. I mean, she wasn't in the company that long, but they kept changing her look, giving her pigtails, giving her the school's the outfits, putting some fucking glow-in-the-dark charm on her. I mean, just that, now she's got a combination of both. And then, look, let's I don't know what they were trying to do there. You know what that reminds me of? That look. Let's get back to that look. Let me see if I can pause it there. You know, there we go. You know what that look reminds me of? Reminds me of that they envision themselves to look like someone, or WWE envision them to look like a particular NXT star or WWE star, and like change the hair a certain way. And it was like, no, you know what? We got to, you know, I kind of see this person instead. So let's like tweak a hair a little bit. It looks like a fruit salad. That's what her hair looks. I'm not ripping on her hair, but it's confusing. It's confused. Like, I don't know what they were trying to do there. Do you remember when Stephanie started looking like China when she had the bangs? Remember when she had that haircut? She dyed her hair like Frosty. And I know what people can say, oh, China had dark jet black hair. But if you go back and you look at that time frame where Stephanie McMahon changed her hair, I honestly thought that she was trying to look a little bit like China from back in the day. You seek it out, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But they changed Saray's look like 5 times, maybe more. And it just didn't work. It didn't work. They tried. It didn't work. You know, Io Shirai broke through. Asuka broke through. You know, we've had others that do break through, but more times than not, I don't know what it is. You know, they brought her in And they tried to turn her into this goofy character instead of being just hard-nosed, straight up. She's a fucking great talent. But she is gone. Now, she is going to have a press conference. She's going to be on Instagram. That's really what it is. She's going to be on Instagram this Monday. I don't know what time it's going to be, but her first match back in Japan is going to be May 16th and in Tokyo. So, you know, for everyone out there that was a fan of Saray, yeah, you could do Google searches and you could go on YouTube or WWE Network and watch some videos, but she is gone, from WWE. So there you go. Let's stay on the topic of women. We got to mention this briefly. You all saw this, right? You all saw that. You know, it was funny because last Monday we had a screenshot of Liv Morgan at the red carpet premiere for Scream 6. Liv Morgan went to a Knicks game. She went to a Knicks game and she went viral. And, you know, there is actually a story behind it if you're not aware of it. She went viral because she's sitting next to some guy. Now, you know, you look at it, and it comes off that Liv Morgan doesn't know who this guy is. And she just looks completely disinterested. If you look at it, like, this guy's talking and talking and talking, and, you know, she's like, yep. Look, just leave me the fuck alone. Look, it's just, like, totally disinterested. And he's just yapping and yapping and yapping and yapping. And, you know, the first reaction that people have is, oh, maybe he's trying to catch a rap. Maybe he's trying to catch a rap. You know, it's like you could see this in every nightclub, in every bar, especially in New York and New Jersey. You know, like, look, I'm just trying to enjoy my drink. Shut the fuck up. Leave me alone. This and that. Well, it ends up they had no idea that this was being recorded, that this was live on the Knicks network. Even the Knicks were joking on social media saying, you know, she's not interested in you, man, or something like that. Well, it ends up that this guy actually works for WWE. No joke. This guy works for WWE. And Liv Morgan reveals that they had no idea that they were being recorded. His name is Justin Scalise. And he basically was there. I don't know if he's, you know, an assistant or he was there to basically, you know, make sure Liv was okay. But he was just talking about, you know, just things. And she was paying attention to the Knicks game. And she wasn't even trying to be nasty or brushing him off. He was just talking and she just wasn't paying attention to it because she was focused on what was going on in the court. You know, Liv Morgan, you know, probably has not gone to many, you know, basketball games like this before. And, you know, hey, it is what it is. But, oh, man. It's so funny because, you know, she said that her phone started blowing up and she realized almost immediately that it went viral. She felt really bad for this guy. Now, if I was WWE, you got to put him on the bump. You have to put him on the bump. Let him joke about it. Let him come and listen because Liv Morgan said that he's been really cool about it, you know. But this guy's going to be the victim of a meme forever. I mean, the people are going to just. This, you know, that one where you're like, the guy's like talking in the girl's ear, the one with the big funny ears, the brunette. I'm sure you've all seen that picture and she's just not paying attention. You know, people will always bring up that picture of the Dark Order of John Silver and what was it? Was it Anna Jay? No, it was John Silver and I don't remember who else. But that was staged. That wasn't like a real thing. This was real. Liv Morgan was just brushing him off. But she said that he's been very cool about it. She feels awful. You know, she wasn't intentionally trying to brush him off. But, yeah, I would put him on the bump. Let him come off as, you know, just a little funny moment. And, you know, just leave it at that. And I think that will die down. But, yeah, Liv Morgan. And by the way, they think they're going to be at the Garden tonight or tomorrow. So, you know, she's still in New York. She's going to be performing at the Garden. They were hyping up Seth Rollins versus Austin Theory in a cage match for the Garden this weekend. Ronda Rousey's going to compete as well. Ronda Rousey may have a match. They may just have her just, you know, have an altercation with someone because, remember, she strained her arm recently, so that's why they pulled her from the SmackDown match last week, and she had no match yesterday as well. So, yeah, so there you go. So just a funny little story that went viral. You know, one more thing, since we're on the topic of women and wrestling, and we just talked about NXT, you know, WWE has some dirty words. You're not really supposed to say belt. You're supposed to say championship, title. You know, like, they don't like certain words. Well, one word that they would never use is the term hospital. When Vince was pulled or stepped down from creative, they started using the term hospital. And, you know, it was just a weird response online, and people, like, they got this warm feeling inside. Finally, they're using the term hospital. I'm like, ah, whatever. But something funny happened yesterday on WWE social media, and you probably have no idea that it even went down. On WWE's NXT social media, they posted this update yesterday. It says, update, Roxanne Perez has been discharged from a local medical facility and is now at home resting. And their social media account got swamped with negativity. Why? Because, oh, what the fuck? Why can't you just call it a hospital? Oh, Vince is back a creator. Yeah, legit podcasters are actually writing yesterday, like, fucking Vince is now even in getting involved in creative again. So what does WWE do? They delete the tweet and they replace it with this. Update, Roxanne Perez has been discharged from the hospital and is now at home resting. And now it's almost like, oh, the pacifier was put in the baby's mouth. It was put in the baby's mouth. They had this one. Ah! Wah! Don't use local medical facility. Wah! Wah! Unbelievable. Because they used the term local medical facility, they got rammed on social media. Listen, when does WWE ever tweet and delete like that? Like, if you misspell something or if you leave a few words out accidentally, yeah. You know, they're not Twitter blue. They're not Twitter blue. They could have just edited it, but no, they didn't. So I just figured I'd share that because a lot of you probably didn't even know that that happened yesterday. So let's start bringing this home. We got a couple other news tidbits. By the way, you know, again, it's what we talk about online. I don't know if people are intentionally acting like they're brain dead, that they're in a vegetative state, or they're just stupid, or they're just clickbaiting people, right? We all know that this is the match at WrestleMania. Gunther is defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Yesterday on SmackDown, they teased that we were going to get a fatal five-way to determine who was going to face Gunther. Now, obviously, with Kofi Kingston injured, Xavier Woods was given the replacement, which was pretty cool. This match was a lot of fun yesterday. If you tuned in to last Saturday's Don Tony show, I said we'll probably get a double pin. And then Adam Pearce will not be able to figure out what they're going to do. We compared it to Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. Like, obviously, they weren't going to fall onto the floor, but we were going to get a double pin, and that's exactly what we got yesterday. We had Drew McIntyre pinning Karrion Kross, and I believe we had Sheamus pinning LA Knight. They were both, you know, they both got the pin. After the match was over, we got two referees arguing. One says Sheamus won, one said Drew won, and the crowd is chanting, triple threat, triple threat, triple threat. So later on, you have Gunther in the back, and he's saying to Adam Pearce, you know, English is not his first language, but he does understand English, you know, and opponent and opponents. He knows the difference between singular and plural. And contender, you know, singular and plural. And he's supposed to face one person at WrestleMania, not two. So Adam Pearce says, look, I just hear me out. I'm going to come to a conclusion. So yesterday they announced that next Friday on SmackDown, think July 2022 as I say this, next Friday on SmackDown, we're going to have Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. The winner of that match goes on to face Gunther at WrestleMania 39 for the Intercontinental Championship. I don't understand why people are so dense, or like I said, they're just clickbaiting. This is July 2022 once again. This is something that I have said repeatedly over and over and over again, and for a lot of people it goes in one ear and goes out the other. And some of you who are live right now, I saw what some of you write on social media yesterday, because I follow some of you. You're like, what the fuck, WWE? Why the fuck can't you just give us what we want? You know, they're doing a scenic route. Do you remember Clash at the Castle? We knew that Drew McIntyre was going to Clash at the Castle, and they decided to kill 2-3 extra weeks before they would officially announce Drew McIntyre. And the week that we thought we were finally getting Drew McIntyre as the number one contender, they announced the Shillelagh match with Drew versus Sheamus. And the winner of that finally goes. And then it finally ended up being Drew. Next week, Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus will end with a bullshit finish. And Adam Pearce will have no choice but to make it a three-way at WrestleMania. Maybe it's a double countout. Maybe it's a double disqualification. Maybe it's a time limit draw. Maybe Gunther and Imperium gets involved. But this is the scenic route. Instead of announcing it yesterday, leave the double pin and announcing it the way it is, they decided to take the scenic route. You have to wait one more week. That's all that's happening. There's no controversy here. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus will be involved in a three-way at WrestleMania against Gunther. Period. Period. All they're doing is just milking it for another week. That's it. That's it. So, you know, do not worry. Do not worry. We will get what we want. Give me what I want. Give me what I need. It'll happen. Give it time. Little controversy yesterday at SmackDown. Everybody and their mother saw this promo picture for SmackDown yesterday. Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, reunited and it feels so good. There's only a little problem with that picture. There's a problem with that picture. It's too small. There you go. Where was Roman Reigns yesterday? We saw Paul Heyman. Very, very happy to see Jey Uso. No Roman Reigns yesterday, despite being advertised. Now, I'm not making excuses for WWE. If you go back a week, Roman Reigns told Jimmy that if Jey is not at SmackDown Friday, if they're not realigned, then, you know, you're responsible. Roman was going to take it out on Jimmy. Remember this past Raw when Paul Heyman was in Jimmy's ear? If Jey is not back, you have to, the tribal chief is going to blame you. In hindsight, I'm glad Roman Reigns was not part of that segment to close out SmackDown yesterday. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. First of all, Jey Uso's explanation as to why he turned on Sami Zayn. Now, SmackDown opened up with the Usos pulling up in an SUV. Paul Heyman with an awkward hug to Jey Uso. Jey Uso wants to talk to the tribal chief. And, Paul says that he and the tribal chief are very happy, and Jey wants to talk to the tribal chief. Caleb Braxton tries to sneak in an interview, and Jey says he will do all his explaining in the ring, and Jimmy brings up Cody. Now, you remember a couple of weeks ago in a sit-down, episode. I know the title is still there, but we said that Cody and Sami Zayn were going to be teaming up to lead into WrestleMania. That's going to segue to Kevin Owens, obviously. But the reason why they're doing that, too, is to lower the climate, lower the friction that Sami Zayn is not in this match at WrestleMania as far as for the Universal WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. So we're now getting what we all expected from a few weeks ago. The reason why it was better that Roman Reigns was not in that segment to close out SmackDown yesterday, you could say, okay, look at the beatdown. Cody Rhodes is called out by Jimmy Uso. Cody walks down the rampway. He's dressed in a nice suit. And he says, if you want to talk about me, why don't you talk to me? And then, you know, to cut the promo short, because we only had 2 minutes left in SmackDown, Cody says, I don't think these fans want to hear us talk. They want to see us fight. So Cody starts taking some of his outfit off. Cody looks a little bit jacked. He's put on some muscle weight. Cody hits the ring, and right before the Usos can start wailing on him, here comes Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn goes right after Jimmy Uso. Sami Zayn does put his hands on Jey Uso as well. You didn't have that awkward look or anything like that. I'm going to get back to the explanation in a moment, but I'm explaining why it was better off that Roman Reigns was not part of that segment. But they end up brawling, and at the end result, Jimmy Uso is clotheslined over the top rope by Cody Rhodes. Jey Uso's clothesline over the top rope by Sami Zayn. And Sami and Cody are in the ring together, and the Usos are backtracking. With Roman Reigns there as well, that would have looked really, really awkward because now you got 3-on-2. And I don't think WWE wants to have that look of Roman Reigns retreating right now. So it almost looks like Roman Reigns is chicken shit that he just refused to go out there. That's the perception. So I like the aesthetics, the look that Roman Reigns did not have to backtrack yesterday. It would have been 3-on-2. I know what you're going to say. Well, Kevin Owens could have come out as well. It'll happen. Got to wait one more week, but it'll happen. Kevin Owens now batting for Cody Rhodes, number 38, Kevin Owens. That'll happen because Cody's got to shift to Roman Reigns. Now, another reason why I was very happy that Roman Reigns was not part of that closing segment is because of Jey Uso's explanation as far as why he turned on Sami Zayn. And he used common sense. What would you do? What would you do for your... You would do anything for your family. If your family's light bill was about to be turned off, you would pay the light bill to keep their lights on. If you have problems with your family and your family's car broke down, you would go there and pick up your family. If your family needs food, like, no matter what, family comes first. He said he didn't want to do what he did to Sami Zayn, but he had no choice because Jimmy Uso is his blood. Jimmy Uso is his brother. He is family. Sami Zayn is not family. No one in the crowd is family. I had to do what I had to do for my family. Then he says, Sammy, you're going to let my brother get clipped. Because remember the storyline, Roman Reigns was going to take it out on Jimmy Uso. Sami Zayn had no problem with that. And that's why Jey Uso did what he did. Sammy, you're selfish. Roman was right, you're selfish. You were going to let my brother get clipped. All you had to do was fall in line. But your ass is not bloodline. And it will never be. So everything that he said made sense. But here's the thing. Jey Uso didn't want to do it. But he had to do it because he was his brother. His brother was about to be clipped by who? Roman Reigns. Why would Roman Reigns accept this reasoning when it makes it seem like Roman Reigns is a gangster? Roman Reigns is mafia. Remember when we used to use the mafia terms with the bloodline? That doesn't sound like I did it because, you know, the bloodline is my family. Roman said, no, it sounds like I didn't want to do this, but you were going to let my brother get whacked. I can't have that happen. So if he's saying this, what's Roman Reigns' reaction to this? That's why Roman Reigns out there would have made the segment look very, very awkward. So even though you may be a little bit upset that Roman Reigns was advertised yesterday, absolutely was, but did not appear, think of what went down yesterday. It was better that he didn't. It's better that he didn't. We still have 3 weeks before WrestleMania. There's going to be plenty of opportunity to have Roman Reigns on that TV screen. So yesterday, doing it the way they did, look, it still leaves thoughts in a lot of people's heads. There's a lot of people out there that think that we might end up getting Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso once again. Jey Uso doesn't sound like someone who is totally committed to Roman Reigns. He's doing it because he's doing it for his brother. He's not doing it for Roman. That could segue into other storylines. Now, before we get back to SmackDown, let's address a couple of rumors that are being floated around. And honestly, they're more clickbait than anything else. One rumor that has caught a lot of legs, and I wasn't going to bring it up the last 2 weeks, but now since everybody and their mother is talking about it, I'm going to address it. Somebody started spreading a rumor that shortly after WrestleMania, WWE is preparing Solo Sikoa to face Roman Reigns. Could that happen? Absolutely. Any match could happen at any time for any reason. Absolutely. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but the idea that we're going to end up with Solo Sikoa against Roman Reigns shortly after WrestleMania is nonsense. It's nonsense. It makes zero sense. For storyline, non-storyline, there's a lot of people with these conspiracy theories that ultimately the Usos will turn on Roman and this and that. Sure, that could all happen. WWE writing, they could write it any way they want. Shit, they could have Sami Zayn back in the bloodline a year from now. It's not going to happen, but my point is, you know, this is entertainment. You can write it any way you want, but the idea of people, you know, with this thought in the back of their mind that Solo is going to turn babyface in the very near future and feud with Roman Reigns, get it out of your head. Get it out of your head. There's so many other scenarios that have to go down that shit ain't happening. It ain't happening. Another one that I want to address. Do I have a graphic? Nah, I don't. We don't need no graphic. We don't need no graphics. We don't need no graphics. There's another one going around. And again, these are the same assholes that will throw things out there, roll the dice, get it wrong, delete the tweet, and 15,000 people still follow them. There's a report flying around that WWE is preparing Trish Stratus to turn heel, and she will face Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. Okay, I could tell you where this came from. WWE has two events in Saudi Arabia in 2023. One is King and Queen of the Ring. Another one is later on in the year. We don't know exactly when in the year, but last year, one of the matches that we got was Lita versus Becky Lynch. And Saudi Arabia has requested Trish Stratus in the past. They pay big money. Believe me, you know, some of these wrestlers, if you get a little mad that they only wrestle in the Saudi Arabia show and then they aren't in the ring pretty much at all afterwards, don't get mad at the wrestler. Understand that they're getting a payday that could be almost a year's pay in 2023. You know, some of these wrestlers get royalties from residuals, from merch, but they don't make the money that they made maybe 15, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. So the amount of money that these people make, it does help them tremendously. So somebody came up with this logic that, okay, last year they did Becky Lynch versus Lita, old school versus new. you know, past versus present. Okay, we should have Trish now versus Becky. That's where that came from. And I'm 100% sure that's where that came from. Because if you go on a social media account for the place that revealed this news, they got a Reddit page. And you go on their Reddit page and you scroll back a year, all the discussion afterwards was, oh, next year they got to do Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus. That was before even knowing that Trish Stratus was going to be returning in time for WrestleMania. That is somebody trying to throw it out there, claiming they got a scoop. They ain't got no scoop. The only scoops that they have is ice cream. That's all they got. So Trish Stratus turning heel, leading it. You think, how many matches do you think Trish Stratus is going to have between now and SummerSlam? You know, so could Becky take on Trish? Absolutely. But this idea that they're going to, and they also reported she's going to wrestle a series of matches and she's going to turn heel leader. I believe it when I see it. I believe it when I see it. All right. So wrapping up the rest of SmackDown, Rey Mysterio, as we said earlier, announced as the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. Rey comes out there, loud, you deserve it, Chance. The guy absolutely deserves it. It's, you know, like, if you want to compare it to Major League Baseball, did Derek Jeter get like 100% of the vote? Did he get like 100% or like 99% of the vote? Like, this is one where you look at his career and it's not even a question. I mean, this guy has influenced so many stars of today, you know, whether you like the flippy or not, inspiration. And my God, you know, like what he's doing to help Dominic as well. Rey Mysterio is a Hall of Famer. First time that I ever saw Rey in person. Yeah, I was reminiscing last night a little bit, and a show that I've always talked about in the past that I went to was ECW event called Big Ass Extreme Bash. One of my favorite events of all time. So I went and revisited that match because I always remember when we had Rey do a Huracanrana off of someone's car outside the ECW arena. What I did not realize is, and look, I don't give a shit about rating matches 5 stars, 4 stars. Either bad, average, bad, fair, average, good, very good, excellent, amazing. That's how I look at it. But I did not know that Dave Meltzer ranked Rey Mysterio's match from Big Ass Extreme Bash 5 stars. ECW match, 5 stars. Never knew that. Mariano Rivera got 100% of the vote. All right, so it's Mariano Rivera. So Rey is someone that if you really did an official vote, of course he deserves to be in. I think some people would vote no just to be an asshole. Like, if you truly look at his resume. So he comes out there before he could say anything. You know, and WWE does this a lot. They've done it with Charlotte Flair. They've done it with Rey Mysterio. They've done it with others. You know, right before they start talking, you did it with Cody. Sometimes it's because they're pressed for time. You know, yesterday happened, and before Rey could really even talk, Dominic comes out there. He starts throwing a lot of shade to Rey. How many soccer games did you miss, Dad, to be a Hall of Famer? And he throws some of the jabs that we talked about earlier. This leads to Legado del Fantasma coming out. And, look, I love fucking Santos Escobar. I don't need to prove that here. But I'm tired. I'm tired with the same remark being used over and over and over again. We talked about it last week. Edge has done it. You know, a lot of baby faces have done it. I'm sure you could come up with a whole list right now, and Santos Escobar has done it more than once. Your father should have done what he did last week, but that doesn't mean that I can't do it, or your father did it. Your father should have slapped you, but that doesn't mean Edge did it. Santos did it. Like, everybody who's faced Dominic in the last, like, 6 months, at some point says, you know, oh, stop that. Because Santos, even before Dominic, shut up yesterday. Shut up. So they were in the ring, And they say, oh, we have a match with Judgment tonight. I say, why don't we do the match now? So they do the match. Dominic gets the pin once again. We see a little bit of interaction with Zelina Vega and Rhea Ripley, a little bit animated. And we'll get to Rhea Ripley again in a minute. There's something with Charlotte Flair that is a little off, in my opinion. We'll talk about that. But anyway, in the end, Judgment Day beats Legado. Dominic gets the pin once again. I don't know if people keep noticing, but Dominic is repeatedly getting pins right now, which is pissing off the fans even more. So when Ray takes on Dominic at WrestleMania, man, that he's got to hit a 619 to Rhea. You almost feel like he's got to hit a 619 to Rhea. It's got to happen. But, you know, you know what I just hope we don't have happen? I don't want the Helen Hart moment. I don't want the Helen Hart moment. And I'm not trying to, like, be funny about it. But you remember when Owen and Brett were fighting and they had Helen Hart sitting at ringside? And, man, I really don't want to go there with something. But, you know, she was sitting and she's acting all concerned. And, you know, like, it just, I don't know, it looked too unbelievable would be the right way to put it. I really don't want to say what I want to say, but... Oh, if you look at Helen Hart at that time, you couldn't tell if she was smiling or frowning. She just had the same look on her face. She had the look on her face like when I fart, when you don't say anything, but you just got that guilty look on your face like I farted. And she, when Brett is hitting Owen and Owen's hitting Brett and this and that, or, you know, like even the stuff with Backlund at the time and throw the towel. She had the same look on her face every time. And it's really hard. It's really hard for somebody who is not a performer to really sell it. Think recently. Who was the family at ringside? Was it an AEW event? Was it AEW? Was it a WWE event? No. It was Sami Zayn's family. Sami Zayn's family when Roman took on Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber. If you go back and you look at that, some of the family members were great with their reactions. But Roman is at ringside and he's throwing shade at his family, like, you know, and there's one woman there and she's looking at him and she's like she almost thought she was going to take a phone out and start shooting selfies. Some people have this like comedic look on their face. Like, if you can't take it seriously, just get the fuck out of the way. Go hide. Go buy a Kanish. Go on the other side. Some people do that, and it's not really their fault, but they don't know how to act, and I don't want to see the moment where Dominic and Ray are in the ring, and they show the camera, and here is Angie, you know, the Mysterio version of Helen Hart, sitting at ringside, and she's got this look on her face like, you know, of concern, and you know it's not, I think Aaliyah will be fine. We'll see if there's other relatives there too. But Angie, though, I'm telling you, you're going to think of Helen Hart. I'm a little concerned. I don't want to see that. But you almost feel like the Mysterio family has to be at ringside showing concern that father and son are fighting with each other. So that will be happening soon. So, you know, the final nail in the coffin with Dominic trolling Ray is where Dominic tells Ray yesterday that at the end of the day, I should have been Eddie's son. Ouch. Listen, using people from history, especially family members, close friends, absolutely necessary to a certain degree. Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Dusty Rhodes. By the way, I got an awesome Dusty Rhodes shirt I'm going to wear Monday. I was going to wear it today, but I was a little lazy. So, but see, did you notice something yesterday? When Paul Heyman was talking about Cody Rhodes and what Roman's going to do to him at WrestleMania, I don't think Dusty's name was mentioned once. When Paul Heyman was talking about Roman going gangster on Cody, you know, Roman Reigns told Paul Heyman that the most gangster thing that they could do is smash Cody with the truth. I know what you're going to say. That's dumb. You know, you just want to smash, beat the shit out of the person. But Paul Heyman in his promo yesterday claims that Roman told Paul that the most gangster thing that we could do to Cody is smash him with the truth. It's emotional baggage that Cody cannot do anything about. And it makes sense. They didn't mention Dusty Rhodes' name yesterday, but they mentioned Dusty Rhodes without mentioning his name. The storyline is simple. Cody Rhodes, his father's gone. I mean, he lives in spirit and memory, and you always have that, never goes away. But Dusty Rhodes physically is gone. So the best abuse that the bloodline or Roman could give to Cody Rhodes or Paul Heyman is mental abuse, emotional abuse. Keep rubbing it in Cody's face that his own father felt that Roman had it. You got it. You can't sell it. You can't buy it. You got it. You can't get rid of it. You got it. I don't sound like Dusty, sorry. That Dusty felt Roman was the future, not Cody. See, it's like social media. Oh, here's the list of matches that Triple H canceled, had to cancel at WrestleMania because of Vince McMahon. Why? I mean, they're alive still, but nobody's going to go on social media and say, "You're a liar! Not true!" They just say it because they know that nobody's going to. Look at Hulk Hogan. Every time somebody dies now, "Oh, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago, brother. We finally cleared the air, brother. In fact, we were going to go out to dinner next week, brother." Yeah, after somebody dies, I could say, "Man, I just talked to this person on the phone. Big follower of the show. My God, you have no idea how big of a fan this person was of my show." What is a person going to do? Is lightning going to come through my roof and strike me in the head? You can't prove it. So now they could say whatever they want about Dusty. And Cody can't do a damn thing about it because Dusty is not going to. There ain't no pre-recorded video that's in a safety deposit box that's going to say, "Look, one day if you have a feud with Roman, if he claims this, it's not true, baby." You know, like they they're not going to do any special effects. They're not going to splice things together. So, you know, this is where they're going with this. Obviously, right before WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes will be battered and beaten, and Roman will pull his head up, and Roman will look in the camera and just do his same thing he did with Sami Zayn right before Elimination Chamber. That will happen. But right now, the verbal abuse is to milk weeks of no confrontation. That's why you have Cody and Sami Zayn still interacting. Don't worry. Kevin Owens will replace Cody very, very soon. But by doing this twist, it's not, "Oh, referees pulling everybody apart. They can't wait till WrestleMania." They'll do that the last week. But we still got 3 weeks. So you're going to have to wait probably 2 more weeks of that. And we'll see where it goes from here. I like it. I know it may seem like a little bit of a cop-out by doing it this way. But again, you know, it is on record pretty much that Dusty Rhodes did say this about Roman Reigns. But he did not praise Roman Reigns by bashing Cody Rhodes. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you can't intertwine the two, but you have to for a storyline. And when storylines feel real, when they're based on facts, that's when they're at their best. You look at even promos, and we've talked about this over and over for years, that when wrestlers can cut promos based on real life situations, you don't even have to think. You can just bounce off facts and real things and not have to bullet points. You know, you look at some people who cut promos. Why, you look at, people bring up Eddie Kingston, people bring up Homicide. I always bring up Heath Slater when he came back that one night and took on Drew McIntyre when he first won the championship. And you remember that promo. It's, people say it's the greatest promo of his career. Why? Because it was based on reality. 99% of everything he said in that promo was real. When you could feel it here, it comes out this way even better. So I thought that was very good yesterday. Viking Raiders over Braun Strowman and Ricochet, excellent match. But still, it just feels like the Viking Raiders, like, okay, what next? It's, I don't feel any progression whatsoever. And still with the, look, you could end up with the Viking Raiders versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn down the line. But right now, it's just to fill up time. I'm really enjoying Ricochet and Braun Strowman as a tag team. Especially when Braun just throws around Ricochet like nothing. I mean, they definitely work great together. That is a fun tag team that I hope they keep together for a while. One thing I did not like yesterday, I did not like the confrontation with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. Charlotte Flair wants a match. And Adam Pearce says, I will give you a suitable opponent. Shotzi comes out. They have a decent match. It's okay. Rhea Ripley comes out. She's at ringside by the commentator's table. Doesn't talk, but she's just, you know, smirks, smiling, looking at Charlotte. The very end of the match, Charlotte Flair goes to put Shotzi in the figure four, and she calls out Rhea's name. Rhea, pay attention. This is going to happen to you at WrestleMania. Puts the figure eight, on Shotzi. Shotzi taps. So then Rhea comes into the ring, microphone, Charlotte Flair with a microphone. And something is missing with this. I mean, I get it. You know, Charlotte Flair, you know, I love this business. I love this, and I'm better than this and this and that. Rhea Ripley, and Rhea Ripley talking to professional. You know, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of anger there. Like there's confidence on both sides, but there's no, it doesn't feel like the anger. It's almost like the reverse of what's going on with Toxic Attraction right now. Like Toxic Attraction, there's a lot of physicality, but the verbiage, the tension doesn't feel it. You know what I mean? That tension is, it feels too professional, in my opinion. It's going to be an awesome match. And a lot of people are predicting victory for Rhea Ripley. But, you know, I need some physicality involved. I need to see them start wanting to beat the fuck out of each other. Why are we not getting pull-aparts? Why are we not getting, you know, so, I mean, taking shots at Ric Flair is not going to do it at this time. Taking shots at Dominic is not going to do it at this time. Being confident, I'm the greatest, I'm this, you this, I'm that, you're that. You know, that's fine. Anybody in a feud could say that. This doesn't feel as important as it should. To me, and it's funny because Asuka can talk some English. But the funny thing is, if you watch Asuka and Bianca Belair, like, even though they're kind of friendly with each other, but Asuka, she dribbles all the blue food coloring, and she just looks at the sign. Like, you feel there's more tension between Asuka and Bianca Belair than anything else. You know, I don't know. I don't know, something, maybe you're right, Devin. Maybe because we're used to Charlotte Flair being a heel. But you know what the funny thing is? Charlotte Flair can be a heel right now. The only thing that she cannot do is diss the fans. You know, she could just go off on Rhea Ripley like she would go off on a babyface. I mean, are they just concerned that, because Rhea Ripley could talk, but can Rhea Ripley go toe-to-toe with Charlotte Flair on the mic? I'm not so sure. So I think we need a big pull apart between those two. We need something to go down big time. We need to feel like these two want to just rip each other apart. And I don't see that. In fact, there are very few matches that I see that, if you really think about it. How many matches out there Do you get this feeling, oh, these two motherfuckers are going to... Maybe Ray and Dominic is the first one that comes to mind. That might be one of the things that's lacking. Oh, you know what? Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. I think that's a good one. I think that would be a good one. It doesn't feel like too... Like, look, I'm not comparing it to Hogan days. Remember WrestleMania 5? The mega powers explode. Like, you don't feel this explosion, this anger, this tension that these two people just can't. We'll probably see that with Omos and Brock Lesnar by next week. Like, I need to see more pull-aparts. I need to see more anger. I need to see more sensory buttons thrown off. You know, I need to feel more like that face-to-face that Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle had, the split screen, I should say. You know, that tension. I'm going to fuck you up. Like, I need to see that. And for some reason, we're missing it in a lot of cases. So I'll talk more about Toxic Attraction on Wednesday. I was going to actually have a discussion this past Wednesday on why JC Jane and Gigi Dolin is falling flat and really starting to fail. I want to give it one more week because something is supposed to go down this Tuesday. But if it doesn't go down or if it isn't well received Wednesday, I got a little bit of a rant to go on as far as why the Gigi Dolin JC Jane feud is not working. It's not working. The fans are just not buying it, not accepting it. Might be even a better word to use, but we'll give it one more show before we talk about that. So come Tuesday. Yes, come Tuesday. So that was pretty much the highlights and recap of SmackDown yesterday. So the only match that we know of next week is the Cena group match. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. You know, whatever the outcome is, it'll be a three-way at Mania with Gunther. So Logan Paul and Seth Rollins, I mentioned this briefly on Monday, but he did announce on his podcast, Logan Paul's Impulsive, that he and Rollins will be on night one of WrestleMania 39. His birthday is the same night as night one, and WWE is allowing him to wrestle on his birthday. So I just figured I'd share that. Also, press release came out that WWE Backlash is taking place in Puerto Rico on Saturday, May 6th, and Bad Bunny will be the host of Backlash. Big deal, big deal. You know, Bad Bunny, lifelong wrestling fan. Even in his comments about hosting Backlash, he brings up 2005, where he couldn't attend New Year's Revolution at the Coliseum, El Coliseo, And, you know, I'm telling you, I don't have the list in front of me. But you start looking at, like, since late last year, every event is in a building that is generating boatloads of cash. Somebody mentioned yesterday that yesterday's SmackDown was the highest grossing SmackDown in their history. Like, you know, one thing you haven't heard is you haven't heard ticket prices tripling. Like, usually when you hear, like, some revenue, good revenue comes in, you'll hear people be like, oh, yeah, that's because they tripled the prices. Of course they're going to generate big revenue. But you really haven't heard that, not even with AEW. When you hear a good grossing event, you don't hear the first reaction of a lot of people attending is, yeah, well, I had to pay fucking this kind of money. If you pay a lot of money in the secondary market, that's not money in their pockets unless they're the ones selling it. Because if WWE puts a ticket on sale for $50 and I buy it and I sell it to you for $500, I'm the one that made the extra $450, not WWE. So, you know, they are, I mean, I got to get the list. I'll get it for Monday. We look back from the fall of last year to now, you see the building, stadium, this, like, they are generating insane amounts of cash. Fans are turning out. As long as the fans keep turning out, they're going to keep throwing out these bangers. So, all right. two other things, and we're going to get out of here. I just wanted to put this out there. We talked about night one of WrestleMania as far as performing America the Beautiful. We now know that Jimmy Allen will be performing America the Beautiful on night two of WrestleMania. So I know some of you out there are big fans of his work, which is cool. I saw the response yesterday on social media. That was very, very cool. I want to finish with one last thing. They're CNBC. Now, keep in mind that CNBC are not, they're not big fans of WWE corporate. They're not big fans of Vince McMahon, Nick Khan. I just want to point that out there. You know, a lot of people don't know this or maybe just don't want to accept that. They are not big fans of WWE, but they do report. And, you know, when they reported this over the weekend or the late last week, you know, got an interesting response. WWE right now is in talks with Colorado and Michigan, their state gambling regulators, about legalizing betting on WWE. Or as CNBC wrote it, scripted match outcomes. Okay. They go into unnecessary detail as far as, you know, when wrestlers are known or told when who's going to go out on top and this, this, and that, and how matches could be, you know, scripted 6 months in advance and they already know the outcomes, that they're going to keep it in lock and key. All right. A couple of things I want to point out to everyone. Number one, you can bet on wrestling right now. I think Vegas, you could bet through Vegas. There's always Vegas odds. You can bet in many ways on wrestling. I honestly feel that it gets dangerous to have gambling on pro wrestling. And yes, I know people bet on the Academy Awards. There's a few select people that only they know who won best picture or best actor, this and that. Here's the difference, though. You don't have any of those people that will go on fucking movie Twitter and then you get some schmuck like, I don't know, Brad Shepherda, you know, reporting that, oh, my sources tell me that blah, 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 won best picture. Like, you know, my sources tell me that so-and-so is the actor of the year. You know, as of this writing, you have a lot of people online that claim they got these sources in WWE and it's clickbait. How many of you read over and over and over again that Sami Zayn was going to be in the Royal Rumble? You had places reporting that not only was he going to be in the Royal Rumble, he was going to win the Royal Rumble. And I can't tell you how many people the My Predictions contest predicted Sami Zayn maybe not winning the Rumble or being one of the last persons to be eliminated. And this is from websites, my sources tell me, my sources tell me, my sources tell me this. Oh, and it all lies. And the problem is, it's not just clickbait. This is where it gets dangerous. You know, wrestlers do find out before a match goes on who's winning and who's losing, especially when it's a high-profile match, because they have to plan out. They have to plan out the finish. They have to plan out a lot of things that will lead up to it. Can you imagine what would happen if one of those wrestlers called a friend and said, hey, man, I'm going to win this match? I mean, not everybody is a Martha Stewart. You know what I mean? But not... That turns into criminal, because if you even leak out to a friend, a buddy, you got someone, I mean, think about it. My phone's not being tapped. If I'm going to wrestle and I know that I got a friend of mine that, you know, is really down on his money luck and I'm not supposed to win this match and I know I'm going to win a half hour, an hour, what are you going to do? Lock everybody's phones for the next 2 hours? Nobody could text. Nobody could make a... That gets dangerous, man. And I don't think you should have that added pressure on people. because, first of all, anybody out there that reports, oh, my sources tell me that so-and-so is going to be in the Rumble and win it. Now you get all these people that go in fucking Michigan or Colorado or Las Vegas and they start betting and betting heavy. And then you find out Sami Zayn's not even in the Royal Rumble. In my neck of the woods, Howard Beach, John Gotti territory, if somebody in my neighbor say, hey, how you doing? Hey, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to fucking be the, he's going to be the quarterback of the Jets and he's going to be, you know, you got to bet. Where's Aaron Rodgers going to be quarterback next year? Oh, no, my sources tell me. No. It's a done deal. They just haven't signed the papers yet. And I go to Las Vegas and I bet $10,000 that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback of the Jets. And then he signs with the fucking Cowboys. And it was never, what happens in my neighborhood? You think you just, oh, my sources were wrong. You'd be wiped off the face of the earth. Or give me my $10,000, motherfucker. This shit gets dangerous because now you got to worry about wrestlers leaking it out. You don't think there's a little temptation there that, you know, hey, you know, I don't get paid all that well. I don't like Vince McMahon. Fuck you. Hey, I'm going to lose this match. I should be winning this match. Everybody thinks I'm winning. I'm going to lose this match. Fuck you. I'm going to call my friend and tell my friend. What are we going to do? Tap phones? You don't text it. You don't text it, obviously, because you could pull text message. To me, it's a mess. You know, if you want to keep, listen, if you want to do Vegas, oh, you know, how many submissions, will this happen or this, that's different. But to try to legalize it this deep, man, you're just asking for tons of illegal activity, and you're going to see a lot of fraud. Because like I said, what responsibility are all these journalists online who are going to post fake shit that's not true, and that influences gambling? There's got to be some type of criminality there. What is the deterrent? How do you prevent somebody within WWE that doesn't tell a friend, that doesn't call him up? I don't think you use payphones anymore, but hey, you know, don't say nothing. But all right, this is going to happen. I mean, I think you're just asking for major, major trouble. So Psycho's asking me, where did I get that Pillman poster in the back? Somebody, I think, hooked me up on Etsy. I think it was Etsy. I don't remember. I had it for a long time. I just, you know, repositioned it. Do a Google image search, and you'll see a lot of places that are offering. Redbubble is good. Etsy is good to get, like, some good posters and stuff like that. Yeah, Maggie brings up an excellent point. What happens if an injury occurs? You know, what happens if you bet early on something and injury occurs? You know, does your bet become void? Do you get money back? What happens if the injury is a storyline? I mean, I think you're just asking for way too much trouble. If you're gonna minimize it and keep it in a certain, okay, maybe, but there's too many things that could go wrong. Plus, what happens? Understand something. What happens if there's a major upset? Major upset in wrestling, okay? We've had it over the years. Somebody wins that you would never expect it. And let's just say Vegas, Michigan, Colorado has these really big odds on someone. And something gets leaked out somewhere. Our sources tell us that, you know, so-and-so's Dana Brooks going to win the Royal Rumble. And people believe it, and they put a decent amount of money, and they all bet 1,000-to-1 odds, and she wins the Royal Rumble. You think these states are going to be happy? Like, where the fuck did that come out from? You know, sometimes when you're winning in a casino, blackjack or something else, and you're winning a little bit too much, you know, sometimes they, like, put a little pause and they, like, start to see, are you counting cards? Are you starting to do this? Are you doing this? Are you finagling this? You know, they do put a little lookout. So I'm telling you, this is just a disaster waiting to happen. So, all right. So with that said, yeah, we're right around 90 minutes. That's what we pretty much gunned for. So just a reminder, I will be available for the sit-down tomorrow, 8.05 p.m. Eastern. So if you want to join me, that would be pretty awesome. I want to give a shout-out, super shout-out to Nero Fay, and I hope you're feeling better. I know you were under the weather. If Rey and Batista go into the WWE Hall of Fame, who will be first ballot? There is no first ballot. Rey was announced yesterday. Rey was the first one announced. There is no, you know, first ballot. If you really want to see, here's the thing. You know, it's not like, you know, let me put it like this. Batista's been retired for many years. So for every year that goes by up until 2 years ago, if every year goes by that Batista is not put in, does that mean that he's like a fifth ballot Hall of Famer? What do we say about Miss Elizabeth? Miss Elizabeth has been deceased for how long? What is she, a 15th ballot Hall of Famer? Can't do that with wrestling. As far as who's the headliner, you know, who knows? Who knows? Rey Mysterio could end up being the headliner out of all of this. It could be Batista. Personally, the way it feels right now, Rey Mysterio may be the headliner. And that might be the right way to go, especially if you want to do a little storyline to close out the Hall of Fame, to lead into WrestleMania. I could see that. But, yeah, I just there's no first, second, third ballot Hall of Famers because there is no waiting period. Look at Rey. Rey's not even retired yet. He's going in. You know, this is pro wrestling. It's entertainment. What's cool about it is you could do whatever you want. The fans enjoy it. If it works, you could do whatever you want. You could make the Elimination Chamber 7 people. You could make the Royal Rumble back to 40 people. You could make anything. You could make WrestleMania back to one night. You could have it 3 nights. Wrestling, you could do anything you want. It's entertainment, and you evolve as, you know, fans evolve. You know, you see different promotions have different styles of what they do. You see certain promotions will be heavy on intergender matches or this or that, or a lot of women's wrestling, a lot of hardcore. You know, you got to just know your audience. So, you know, this is the beauty of it. It's the beauty of it. I don't think China goes in again. They just put her in. Think it would be too much. Just because, you know, I love the fact that people have taken a lot more acknowledgement to China now. For many, many years, she was swept under the rug quite a bit. So I appreciate the fact that WWE's really, you know, finally acknowledged her the way that she should. But, you know, I think, okay, leave it for now. Leave it for now. She's already in, you know, acknowledged with D-Generation X. You know what I mean? Like, leave it at that for now. If you want to put someone deceased, woman in wrestling, put in Miss Elizabeth. I think that's the common sense way to go. No reason why it can't go a year or 2 years, 3 years after that. So, all right. So I want to thank everybody for joining me today. Definitely leave your comments. Who do you think contacted Mick Foley to go into the WWE Hall of Fame? Who do you think? I'm going to stick with my Melina just to be a little bit outside the box. Let me know what you think. Who do you think should be the one to induct Rey Mysterio? I think Edge would be a great option, especially closing out the Hall of Fame leading into WrestleMania. And, you know, what do you think about what I said earlier about Roman Reigns not being on SmackDown yesterday? That was probably a good idea. Look, teasing the fans and make them think that he was going to be on TV. Yeah, that's, you should never do that. Maybe we'll hear about a traveling thing. Maybe something happened and he couldn't reach it. I didn't see any post SmackDown spoilers that he was on in the building or showed up after the cameras went off the air. I did not see any of that at all. So, you know, I'm a little curious as to why he was advertised that way. We'll see. If I have any answers, I'll definitely share with you tomorrow or Monday. So, yeah, so I'm out of here. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Stay safe. All the best. Here in New York, we had some horrible, horrible weather the last 24 hours. They said it was like a nor'easter. I'm looking out my window right now, and it looks like the weather has finally stopped. We didn't get snow, which is a good thing. But we're approaching March, and I think we've had like a half an inch of snow. We've had no snow this winter so far. And honestly, I'm definitely cool with that because I certainly do not feel like shoveling. No, 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 no. Ah, so everyone, much love once again. And yeah, shout out again to Amy, who hooked me up with this On Patrol Live. She's like, oh, I didn't know you were a fan. You want a hat? I'm like, yeah, get me a hat. And I got news for you. I don't want to start any controversy, but I'm going to talk about it on Monday. I think once this lawsuit ended up the way it was, I think Reels, when they inked the deal with Peacock, I think for all the participants involved, I think they want to get away from MLW as quickly as they can without being dragged into a lawsuit. Reels does not want to even hint that their deal with Peacock and Peacock by default having WWE on it influenced Reels to, you know, Reels worked out a 10-week deal with MLW, and I honestly think, as of right now, I haven't decided yet, let's see, by Monday, but I honestly think when week 10 is up, I think MLW is like, well, excuse me, Reels will be like, thank God that's over. Unless they start killing it in the ratings. I think Reels want to drop MLW as quickly as they can, but since MLW wants to sue and make some wild claims, as we talked about on Wednesday with the AEW cash flow positive stuff, I think Reels wants to break away from MLW as quickly as they can. They wanted that 10 weeks to come as soon as possible. So, yeah, so if you all have any follow-up questions, you could join me tomorrow for the sit-down. I will answer them all, and definitely post your comments. So everyone, be well, much love, and once again, Tuesday, if you're part of our Patreon family, you're more than welcome to join us live on Discord for the one night only return of the DTKC show. So be well, everybody. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.